gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our favorite rockin' congresswoman from Illinois, Representative Jan Schakowsky, on the Celebrity Hotline to update us on the healthcare debate next hour. And one other personal favorite, Representative Joe Sestak, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania, calls in hour number three to talk about all things in the news. And we're very excited about this. Also in hour three, Lieutenant Dan Choi, who is going to talk about his efforts to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yes.
On the military ban on gays. So there we are, a jam-packed Celebrity Hotline once again.
We're good.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the president talking about the situation in Iran yesterday.
The last thing that I want to do is to have the United States be a foil for those forces inside Iran who would love nothing better than to make this an argument about the United States.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you. Well said. All right. Meanwhile, he also, the President Obama praised a, signed legislation yesterday about the smoking ban.
Well, he put tobacco under the auspices of the Food and Drug Administration. And so they're going to ban, like, candy and fruit-flavored cigarettes and, require much bigger warning labels on cigarettes and stuff like that.
Almost 90% of all smokers began at or before their 18th birthday. I know I was one of these teenagers. And so I know how difficult it can be to break this habit when it's been with you for a long time.
No word on him if he's actually quit or not.
Today, thanks to the work of Democrats and Republicans, the decades-long effort to protect our children from the harmful effects of tobacco has emerged victorious.
Enough!
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Okay!
Have you stopped smoking?
You know, I have, but what I said was that, you know, there are times where I've fallen off the wagon.
Huh?
And,
well, wait a minute. That means you haven't stopped.
Well, the fair enough.
Yes. Yes, we can.
I wonder if he shared a smoke with Pickles Bush on her way out. As you know, she used to chain smoke in the Rose Garden.
Yeah.
Well, got any smokes on you?
Why, yes, I do.
While cursing her lot in life.
Smoking her Virginia Slims.
Come a long way, baby.
All right. The sad breaking celebrity news this morning. Ed McMahon has died at the age of 86 years old. He was at Ronald Reagan UCLA Medical Center shortly after midnight. He had a number of health problems, including that neck injury.
Right.
Remember the call? He fell in 2007 and
broke his neck.
Yeah. That's the thing. I suppose a lot of this has to do with, they're saying multiple divorces, because I'm going, how do you make that much money? He listed, in 1980, people listed his salary between $600,000 and $1 million a year. And that went on for a lot of years.
A lot of years, yeah.
Yes, but they say his divorces and poor investments took a toll. The Wall Street Journal reported a man was $644,000 in arrears and almost $5 million on a loan for his home, which he, I guess, did he lose it or was he going to lose it?
He was going to lose it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very sad.
It is.
Anyway.
He was 86 years old.
I met him once. He was very, very nice. All right, so one last hi-yo for Ed McMahon.
Hi-yo! You're correct, sir.
All right, let's check some other entertainment news, shall we, kids?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, why didn't you two ever go to the Ed McMahon sidekick school? No one ever says you are correct on this show.
You're correct, sir.
No! No, Stephanie! No!
Ed was a Marine aviator in the Korean War, by the way.
Yes, he was.
Thank you for that fun fact. You are correct. I've never heard it on this show from either of all y'alls.
Yeah, bite me.
See? All right. A 41-year-old Austrian actor named Roland Kickinger has been chosen to play the title role in a reboot of 1982's Conan the Barbarian.
Wow.
You remember, originally starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ah, Roland Kickinger. Finally, I found the mini-me. I used to think that Wolfgang Park was my mini-me, but he's a wimpy little girly man doing women's work in the kitchen with his vegetable pizza and his tuna tartare and fried potato gaufrette and gay things of this nature. But you, Roland, are a man after my permanently damaged heart after all the steroids and the HDH and the ephedra and the guarana and things of this nature. It's a wonder I'm not as dead as the economy of California. Na, Arnold, es freut mich, dass Sie mich so freundlich empfangen haben. Es kann natürlich nicht leicht sein, seinen eigenen Nachwuchs zu begrüßen.
Wait, hold the phone. Are you telling me you want to replace me and you can't speak English?
Ja, ich wusste das nicht, dass es eine Erfordernis war.
Huh?
Ich,
es, what?
Natürlich kann man meine Rolle später synchronisieren.
What? Huh? Quatsch, I mean nonsense. How can you expect me to be an action star who can't even say, I'll be back. Try it, see if you can do it.
Ich bin gleich wieder da.
No, no, not even close.
How about get back to the chopper? Kehren Sie wieder zum Hubschrauber wieder zurück.
No! Okay, this is your last chance. If you want to replace me as the Terminator, you have to pronounce the name of the state you work in. California.
California.
That's not bad. Patchoff, I think he's got it.
Yeah!
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 If you remember, Roland Kickinger played Arnold in
That's
that
right.
movie Run, Arnold, Run.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, the L Word convention is set for Sydney, Australia. A weekend convention dedicated to the popular lesbian TV drama.
I thought that was canceled.
I think it is.
Here it is.
It was. Not canceled. Done. The L Word.
Of course.
Yes.
No. Okay.
I'm going to say that about most of my TV shows. They ran their course.
13 weeks is a short course.
All right, some died premature deaths.
Yeah, well, 12 and a half.
That was that particular course.
Oh, I'm sorry, it was 12 weeks. Then it was
Generally,
Danny Bonaducci.
Any course that involves
Stephanie Miller.
Not that long.
How long was Pure Oxygen?
Who can remember?
No.
Shortly after I bought a house. All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what usually
You're
happens.
Fired.
Mm-hmm. The TV drama, The L Word, will give the show's fans in Sydney a chance to meet three of its stars, take part in discussions, swap merchandise, and connect with other loyal viewers.
Swap merchandise, huh? Is that what they call it?
Yes, that's what the kids are calling it. And for some reason, that legislator that banned the sexy teenage cheerleading in Texas?
Oh, yeah, Representative Squeezy McFeelpants.
He's going.
Well, pet my koala and call me fuzzy. It seems those sensuous sapphic sweethearts from the L Word will be making an appearance in the magic land of Oz come next January. What a delightful prospect to have such a passel of platypuses going down under. That would be a good day for all of us connoisseurs of cunning stunts.
Oh,
what?
I said cunning stunts.
Oh,
indeed.
Dear.
I shall have to accompany them on their sojourn, and in keeping with the venue, I'll do my very best Joey impression and crawl into as many pouches as I possibly can. I shall endeavor to dink them one at a time or all at once and see if I can't muster up some billabonging. I shall see about coming in the raw prawn on the Barbie. And then on the Sheila and the Nancy and the Rosa as well.
Oh.
I think setting a few ruse loose in the bottom paddocks will be just the thing for this lovely school of white pointers. And it's a kind of shark.
Okay.
And hashing on to the Jillaroos might be just the way to get the L-word gals interested in the P-word. Too right. To be in the nutty with the Maffetazzies fossicking around in the sweet outbacks till I'm gobsmacked with layering it up and doing the naughty while I'm grinning like a shot fox.
Well, I'm just trying to be a... Take them cover, you sticky beaks. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda. Hang on. Oi, I'm Fingers Billabong, and you're waltzing on my turf, mate.
That's right. Fingers Billabong, my aboriginal arch nemesis. We meet at last. In the end, there can be only one, mate. Let's take this outside.
To find out who survived.
Yes, in the next episode.
Is that it? Oh, that's it. All for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends.
Aw, tonight's show theme.
Aww. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Fall to Raw.
Oh, check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, which is a tie ad of the Stephanie Miller website. Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. And while you're there, pick up the downloadable album for $9.99.
Won't you? Okay, then. All right. Celebrity stack. Wowee. That Perez Hilton, he seems to be a bit of a jerk.
He's more than that.
Wowee. You know.
What's he done this time?
Oh.
You know, we're a bunch of commie homo lovers here on the Stephanie Miller Show, but this guy.
You commie homo loving sons of guns.
He seems unnecessarily, I don't know, what's the word?
Bitter.
Something. Police have charged the tour manager of the Black Eyed Peas with assault after he allegedly gave celebrity blogger Perez Hilton the black eye outside a Toronto nightclub. Hilton says he got into an argument with band members Fergie and will.i.am at the Cobra nightclub and was punched outside by the band's tour manager.
So now he's a Black Eyed Pea.
Hey! See, now he's also a... See, with the... Okay. Mm-hmm. We really don't know why he called will.i.am a F-word for gay man inside the club after the musician told the blogger not to write about his band on his website. And so, there you go. Not a new day.
It's a new, painful day for Perez Hilton.
Yeah. And you know what? It's weird because Perez Hilton didn't call the police himself. He tweeted for someone to call the police.
That's the day and age we've gotten to. He literally said, I'm bleeding.
Yes, call the Toronto police. When I woke up yesterday morning, for some reason, I subscribed to Perez Hilton's tweets.
Yes.
I don't anymore, but for some reason, when I got up yesterday morning, I saw all these tweets from Perez Hilton. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
I know. Well, you were right about the whole Miss California thing. You know, clearly we don't agree with what she said, but then to call her a dumb bitch, then it's like, it just makes it, unnecessarily, right. Speaking of a controversial, R. Kelly wants to record a duet with Amy Winehouse.
Okay. Isn't she a little old for him?
That's fine. he revealed he's a big fan of the troubled Grammy winner and would love to put together a track with her. He, by the way, just in case you were wondering, has been cleared of the, the unpleasantness
with the underage.
Child porn. Yeah. Yes. All right. All right. My favorite celebrity game show recently has been Where in the World is Governor of South Carolina?
Yeah.
This is so Mark Sanford, the Republican governor of South Carolina.
The one who refused the stimulus money?
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe he was avoiding you. Maybe he was just avoiding you because he knew you were going to be in the area.
That's it. So they didn't know where he was. He didn't tell his staff. He apparently was on a hike on the Appalachian Trail, but he didn't tell anybody. And his wife wasn't really sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like some more details on that marriage. She wasn't entirely sure where he might be.
Yeah. His staff was trying to ping his cell phone like every hour, trying to find out where he was, and he wasn't answering.
But he loves his wife.
Apparently he does. He loves his wife very, very much. He said he just...
I love my wife.
He said he just went to clear his head.
Uh-huh. Is that what the kids are calling
Whatever. Apparently.
Okay.
Listen, as Miss of Sanford bought it, it's good enough for you. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, more violence in Tehran last night as you slept. We will fill you in on what you missed as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
My body stays vicious. I be up in the gym, just working on my fitness. He's my witness. I put your boy on rock, and he be lining down the block just to watch what I got. So delicious. They wanna taste the what I got.
Steffi.
Hold on.
Check it out.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jen in Chicago on Perez Hilton. Hey, Jen.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Perez just called into one of the Chicago local stations about half an hour ago and was giving his side of the story. And his point of view was that they were arguing inside of the club. He let will.i.am just kind of spew off at the mouth for a little bit. Then Perez left with his group of people, and they followed him outside of the club and kept arguing with them, and that's when the physical altercation took place. Then Perez left and went to the hotel, and they followed back to the hotel, and he was, at this point, just very fearful, didn't know what was going on, called the police, was told that maybe the police would come because the police were very busy with other things going on in the city, and after they didn't come, after a long period of time, that's when he started tweeting about, please help me get the police over here.
That's what Perez says.
That's what Perez says.
Yeah.
Right.
Does he admit that he called him the F word for gay man?
Oh, yeah, he admitted that.
In late, late on the call, so I didn't hear the beginning of it.
He admitted that on a video he posted on his website.
Jen, it seems kind of ironic to me, too, though, that, you know, somebody that obviously it talks about how, you know, people should be out, even people that don't want to be, and yada, yada. And then he, as far as we know, I mean, not that it matters, but I don't think Will.i.am is gay. But why are you using a slur for a gay man, you know, in a negative way when you... You know, when it, you know what I'm saying, when you claim to be a proponent for gay rights. I mean, I'm obviously on his side on gay marriage and all that, but...
Me too. Yeah. I absolutely
I mean, of all the words to use, why would you use that one, you know?
Right. He said that GLAAD was calling on him to apologize.
Yes,
he
should.
Absolutely not. He will not apologize, and that they should apologize to him.
Right.
GLAAD should apologize to him?
That's what it sounded like he was talking about, so it's a little crazy, but...
Yeah, interesting. All right, Jen, thanks for the update. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right.
Is self-important much?
Yeah, really needs to apologize, take GLAAD's advice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It just seems very counterintuitive to me, to somebody that's, you know, obviously speaks out about gay rights to use that as a slur is like, what?
I don't know how effectively he speaks out for gay rights.
Right. Well, and also, as far as we know, like I was saying, you know, it's not like people go, oh, well, you know, black people can use the N-word among themselves or whatever. As far as we know, he was using it as a slur against someone that we don't even know if they're gay.
Right.
So it's like he was just using it as a pejorative.
What?
A gay man using that word as a pejorative. That just makes absolutely no sense, and it sets gay rights movement back years.
And apparently Miss California called him a dumb bitch this morning. Oh, I kid. I don't know
well,
if that's
is.
To be the case.
He is.
I don't like the idea of people outing people. I mean, there's a whole segment in the gay community that thinks they should.
That's what I mean. I don't like,
Yeah,
I mean, you got to give him credit for, you know, he obviously is very successful at what he does in terms of, you know, his celebrity stuff and blogging. But, yeah, I don't get that whole
thing. I think he hurt himself with this incident, though. I think he really did.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, I mean, plus, it seems to me like, you know, and I'm not even for it in that case, but I mean, people that have talked about the, people like Larry Craig that have actively campaigned against gay rights for years and years, you know, and then get caught in something very public, you know.
That's their
and
own
first of all, nobody
fault.
Outed him. He outed himself,
exactly.
You know, so.
He still loves his wife.
As far as we know.
I love my wife.
And her pantsuits.
He was a bad boy. That's all he. That's all he admitted to. Is he was a very nasty, naughty, bad boy.
Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
No,
not even a little.
I've done very gay things in a very gay way, but I'm not gay.
Okay.
All right,
Larry.
Okay.
Think of that?
Still, my favorite part of the story. Of all the colorful details, that's my favorite part. Was it the cop he handed the card?
Yes.
I am United States Senator.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so?
What do you think of that? Well, I think this is going to lead to some very unfortunate publicity for you. That's what I think of that. All right. 28 minutes after the hour. Back with all the breaking news out of Iran as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't judge.
Stephanie Miller.
That's for a vengeful God to do.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. So police broke up a protest in Tehran yesterday, hours after the hardline Revolutionary Guard said they would crush any fresh resistance from rioters, is what they're calling them.
Oh, boy.
In a gesture of defiance first used in the 1979 Islamic Revolution, the people again chanted Allahu Akbar from their rooftops at nightfall. That's the problem is we don't really know because, you know, we don't know what reports we're actually getting. I heard, by the way, like wildly different reports about how many people are dead.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to pay attention as to whether those figures are coming from, you know, Iran state media or if they're coming from eyewitnesses. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to get
Ayatollahs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to get a read on what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rioters obviously, riot police attacked hundreds of demonstrators with tear gas. They fired live bullets in the air. The Guardian Council, by the way, acknowledged yesterday there were voting irregularities. Meaning, apparently, Jim, sort of like Ohio in 2004, a lot more people apparently voted than there were a lot more votes than actually people lived in those particular districts, which right away would make you one suspicious.
Yes.
That's the most serious official admission so far of problems in the election, but the council insisted the problems don't affect the outcome of the vote. Much like in 2000, 2004 here. It was so, you know, it's just a couple of, not enough to actually affect, blah, blah, blah.
Sounds so familiar.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Harvey Wasserman and Bob Fitrakis have written an article about that and talked about how
were they again?
They were the
guys from Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who uncovered the vast election fraud that happened in 2004. And they say Mousavi believes he has a date with destiny, but Kerry apparently had one on the golf course. Gore's failure to effectively respond in Florida 2000 remains an inconvenient truth.
Yeah.
So, we should have been rioting in the streets in 2000 and 2004. But, oh well, hey, there's a celebrity eating a bug on TV.
Images of Iran's crackdown on the street protests have moved President Obama, according to Robert Gibbs.
I think he has been moved by what we've seen on television. I think particularly so by images of women in Iran who have stood up for their right to demonstrate, to speak out, and to be heard.
I don't think he answered specifically whether he had seen the footage of Netta. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is horrifying. I only saw that. I haven't been able to watch the whole thing. I watched the 10 seconds that was on TV.
You wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, I'm not one of when the people go, oh, you got to watch this thing on YouTube. I'm like,
it looked to me that the people were trying to save her life actually put her in more quickly.
Well, I'm sure they're not trained in, first aid, so they had no idea. All they knew that she was shot and she couldn't stand up on her own, so they laid her down.
And they pushed on her chest, which you probably shouldn't do when you don't know what kind of damage has been done.
Yeah, the...
But they didn't know that, so I'm not faulting them.
Yeah, well, obviously a lot of chaos and stuff, that's just a particularly sad story. Protesters in Iran are hailing, she's 26, beautiful, as a martyr after graphic videos of her apparent murder at a protest in Tehran hit the internet. Iran experts say images of her bloody death have galvanized the country and that mourning for her, which has been banned by authorities, will bring deeper unrest. Neda was reportedly gunned down by paramilitary police during protests, so it went up on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. They show her bleeding from the nose and mouth as the crowd tries to revive her. The video also shows I think originally thought it was her father, but I guess it's her professor.
That was the original report, it was her father.
Yeah. It was her professor that was cradling her head and yelling out, "Don't be afraid, stay with me," blah.
And I guess her last words were, I'm burning.
Oh. Her fiancé said in an interview...
Probably it's mistranslated. Probably means it hurts. In German, they say "das brennt," meaning it burns. Something stings. So I'm not sure that that's an accurate.
Those were her last words.
Yeah, her fiance said. This is ironic. She had not supported any candidate in the allegedly fraudulent elections. She wanted freedom for all. He said so. She was just there, by accident. Yeah. I guess she wasn't even at the the protest. Which anyway. Yeah.
But I was also reading reports yesterday that a lot of people inside Iran haven't seen the footage because their internet is pretty much shut down. Right. So
I think once they do,
it's more of a galvanizing thing for the rest of the world
I'm still hoping that there'll be the split. In between the mullahs will eventually, bring about some kind of counter-revolution and, in favor of the millions of people hitting the streets. And they can't kill them all. So I don't know.
Yep.
Hopefully it's not going to be another Tiananmen Square thing where it just...
Robert Gibbs said Obama's public statements on the situation were intended to prevent Iranian leaders from claiming the protests were a U.S.-backed attempt to bring down the regime, which doesn't play well in the Middle East if anyone's been paying attention.
Yeah.
This isn't about a foreign policy that makes us feel good, Gibbs said. This isn't about a statement that makes us feel good or sound good on television. Like this ridiculous resolution by the Republicans, which says exactly the same thing the president has already said.
Right.
And by the way, he's giving a press conference today at, 12:30 Eastern?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And people need to know that the 79 Islamic Revolution came about as a direct result of our intervening in Iranian politics in 1953 when we overthrew the democratically elected Mossadegh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had this crazy idea that Iranians should benefit from the oil being produced in their own country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Robert Gibbs, again yesterday.
I think they're being held accountable. In many ways, you're seeing that accountability on the street each and every day in Tehran.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we've been asking from day one. When John McCain, what does he want? Seriously.
He wants to bomb
and kill all the protesters,
yeah,
too.
Great. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, what?
He said as much during the campaign. He said he wants to bomb Iran.
It worked in Vietnam. We bombed those people and they gave up. And
Sean in Chicago on the Iranian situation. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, I'm one of your fans. I always listen to you. I'm an American-Iranian. Ali, looking at you to help this youth in Iran. Please continue talk about it. That's all we have, because we need you guys to keep talking about it, because these guys are dying for freedom. Mm-hmm. All they're asking is freedom over there. And right now, the army's in the streets, and they're trying to quiet it down. But they're not giving up, and they're still going at it.
They're using every method of intimidation mm-hmm. known to man over there, and it's really sad to see what's going on over there.
Sean? What is your take on what you think is going to, how this is going to play out?
I think this is the biggest thing that's happened, and I think the government already crossed the line, and people are just don't trust the government anymore. They never did, but now even some of the people, clerks, and even the military don't trust the government, and they are coming out and demonstrating. So it's really is the biggest ever happened before, and I'm really asking you, Stephanie, especially you, because you're one of my fans, please keep talking about it. Talking about it.
All right. I am one of your fans now. All right, Sean, thanks for calling.
Okay,
and most people in Iran were born after the revolution in 1979.
Yeah, over 50%.
Millions of people died in the war with Iraq, which we were funding too, speaking of meddling.
Right. And we are, and well, you know, we've been saying too, the difference, you know, it's not just to Twitter and all that, but we're just, you know, we're in a different technological age mm-hmm. now when this is happening.
Right.
Nada, I mean, her fiance was talking about, there was more details that she was caught up accidentally in the protest, but you know, it becomes the iconic image. It becomes a, you know, it's like that one picture of Tiananmen Square, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he said she was near the area a few streets away from when the main protests were taking place near the area. She was with her music teacher sitting in a car stuck in traffic. She was very, very tired and very hot. She got out of the car just for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
God.
So, hey. Oof. All right. Ian Kelly, the State Department spokesman yesterday.
We have made a strategic decision to engage on a number of fronts with Iran. And we tried many years of isolation, and we're pursuing a different path now.
All right. 42 minutes after the hour, are the Republicans dialing back their criticism of Obama over Iran? We will tell you next as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
But that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour.
Are you sure?
I'm sorry, I was in mid skine.
How do you spell?
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We're a little punchy. However, whenever we can get a skine in, because we refer to the unfortunate Gary Skoyne, the Republican, what's his name? What is he?
He was like a GOP chairman in suburban Illinois.
Yes. Until his wife caught him in the playroom with a couple of hookers and hit him with a toy guitar.
Skoyne!
Okay. Thank you. Leslie in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome on the Iranian situation. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Mama. I was wondering if any of you were able to catch C-SPAN last night. Raza Pahlavi, the former crown prince of Iran, was speaking.
Uh-huh.
And he was extremely eloquent as he talked about how the specific intent of the Iranian government right now is to separate the Iranian people from one another so that they are easier to oppress, because you can't oppress people mm-hmm. when they are banded together.
Divide and conquer.
And, mm-hmm. and he made a very eloquent plea for the media to continue shining as much light on this subject as they can, because information is how people will come together over it.
You know what I'm also curious about is obviously this charge they're already throwing around that this is, you know, America is fomenting this. Like, what? I don't even get, how are they intending to sell that to their people? I mean, how would we be causing these ginormous street protests?
You know, it's amazing at what you can sell to people who are emotionally overwrought over something in that mob mentality that will just grab hold. Mm-hmm. And if you're giving them no other information mm-hmm. except that,
that's true.
You've got nothing else to hold on to.
Right. Right. But I mean, the fact that how many hundreds of thousands of people are in the streets because what? Because why? Because America told them to? Huh?
You know, like she said, they're getting no other information. But so they're taking whatever information the government's feeding them.
I don't
them.
Think they're buying it.
Yeah, clearly.
The majority of people in Iran aren't very unhappy with the whole situation with the mullahs and the...
Ellen in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I really resent following someone that makes so much sense.
Come on, buck up, Ellen.
I'm sorry. Okay. This is a good morning, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, Governor Sanford just ran by here. Wait.
Where in the world is Mark Sanford? All right, go ahead.
Now,
is
he streaking? I'm going to ask a serious question.
Yes.
All of those brilliant people that the Bill Gates and the, I don't know, and Steve Jobs and whatever, the YouTube, Twitter, all of the stuff, I do not understand. Why can't they find a way to... not let it get off the air there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. It's because you know, people like Bill Gates don't control the pipelines. Iran controls the pipelines of information. So, so they're the ones who can shut off those pipelines, if you will. Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with computer programs.
Yeah,
it has to do
Ellen,
with the wires.
If Bill Gates was so smart, why didn't he find a way around that, huh?
Exactly, that dope.
What the heck is the point of nerds? They can't figure out how to overcome dictators. All right, Ian Kelly, State Department spokesman yesterday.
This is not about us. This is not about our bilateral relationship right now. This is about Iranians and the Iranians having their rights to express themselves.
Scott in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Iran. Hello, Scott.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Miller. How are you?
Oh, boy.
I'd like to say that the United States has absolutely no right whatsoever to meddle in Iran's election and internal affairs.
Right.
Let's be honest. The U.S. is taking its marching orders directly from the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee and other Jewish and Zionists who follow the manual in the White House, the Mossad, which is Israel's secret police, and the fanatical Zionists in Israel, especially Mr. Netanyahu, and international Jewry who are trying to plunge the United States in the world into World War III, just like they plunged the U.S. and the world into World Wars I and II.
All right. Oh, heavens. Oh, Chris. How many times have I told you to fix that phone line?
Huh. The tubes aren't working, apparently.
Mm. Yes, the pipelines.
All right. Yes, apparently Iran just shut down my phone lines.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can do that.
Damn it.
Mm.
I blame the Jews.
Okay. The Iran's former minister, whose name I will not even attempt to pronounce.
Hassan Kashkani.
Bless you.
Iran has a democratic capacity to settle its internal issues. The spread of anarchy and vandalism by Western powers and Western countries is not acceptable to us.
How is the West?
Yes, exactly. But they expound on that, how the West is spreading anarchy. I see.
But that is the only information that, you know, Iran's government
is
giving people.
Which goes to the president's wisdom of not getting, obviously, interjecting himself more in the middle of this whole thing. Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa. You know, sugary drinks have a friend in Chuck Grassley.
That's right. Not even sugary drinks. It's high fructose
corn syrup.
For some reason,
that's the
only
fact about the health care debate that has stuck in my mind.
Well, it's not even sugary drinks. It's high fructose corn syrupy drinks.
Uh-huh. Which is highly concentrated.
Some studies have shown can be a little dangerous.
Well, that's a huge part of the obesity problem in America, because this stuff just overwhelms your body to process anything else but the high fructose corn syrup, apparently.
All right, Chuck, we've gotten off track. It's about Iran. Here we go.
If we're standing for democracy, we need to back up people that are for democratic principles in other countries.
We are for them. What, seriously.
What do you mean back up? Start bombing?
Yeah. That's what Chuck Grassley wants. He wants to bomb them with corn syrup.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? We have to skip to this one. Because of all the Thule McToolerson things to say, to use this poor Netta for his Republican propaganda.
Netta died with open eyes. Shame on us who live with closed eyes.
Oh, shush.
No, don't speak. Don't speak.
What do you want us to do?
Silence.
He wants to bomb them so that more people like Netta will die. That are.
What?
Oh, please. Just, what a
you're not campaigning
grandstanding.
Anymore. Give it up.
I know. Oh, Lord. President Obama apparently won a respite from domestic criticism of his response to the crisis in Iran as Republican lawmakers welcomed his call on the regime to stop all violent and unjust actions, which I believe he did day one.
Yes.
You know, seriously, because he doesn't saber rattle like Bush used to? It's not good enough? Senator McCain said on Face the Nation that his remarks were far stronger than his previous statements. We need to continue to send that message. Seriously, what is this, a game of who's is bigger?
Yeah.
What's the president supposed to do? He has strongly denounced what's happening there. Seriously.
Republicans aren't happy unless they're fixing to start a war. That's all I can conclude
from
that. Yeah.
Whiny panty waist Lindsey Graham said, Obama's certainly moving in the right direction. I hope we'll hear more of this. Seriously. What's it going to do? He just needs to inject himself more? Lindsey Graham.
President of the United States is supposed to lead the free world, not follow it.
Oh,
other nations have been more outspoken, so I hope that we'll hear more of this, because the young men and women taking the streets in Tehran need our support. The signs are in English.
And how would you support that exactly?
Yeah,
there's not. That's what
with
I mean.
Big talk?
It doesn't matter what issue it is. It's just spitballs.
We did
it's literally like this Republican health care plan that has absolutely no details on what the cost is.
Yeah. Well, we did that in 1956 when Hungary had an uprising against the Soviet Union, and we encouraged them verbally and led them to believe that we were going to back them up in some way. We didn't. The Russians crushed them.
Yep. Lindsey Graham again.
They're basically asking for us to speak up on their behalf, and I appreciate what the president said yesterday, but he's been timid and passive more than I would like.
Please. Yeah. All right. And John McCain on the meddling in the flag.
I don't consider it meddling. We will stand on the side of the principles that made our nation the greatest nation in history.
But it will be seen as meddling in Iran, where we have meddled repeatedly.
That's what I mean. Like, this is just such ridiculous political grandstanding to me. So he's saying Obama doesn't stand on the side of the principles that have made this country the greatest nation and the blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just another version of calling somebody, you know, you're not American enough. You're
That's
not patriotic
right.
enough. It's
bomb,
like, what?
Bomb, 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 Iran.
Yeah, we need a clearer foreign policy like.
Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb him! Death, kill, die, burn!
Yeah, great.
Oh, boy.
We have to strike now, sir. Annihilate. Kill.
Shut up.
That was one of, I believe, the last McCain campaign meetings. It got very, very testy. Yeah, things were getting heated there towards the end. With all the landsliding and the losing in Flavin. All right. Ed Rollins, Republican strategist.
This is an emotional issue, and people for days and days have watched innocent people murdered in the streets, and he has to express some outrage, some moral outrage. Here's the most popular man in the world today who basically represents this great democracy that we are, and we have to basically say that behavior is unacceptable. This is peaceful protest, regardless of what happened in the election, and obviously we can't change that. You cannot murder innocent people in the streets. You cannot cut off press relations to the world. The world is watching you, and we're watching you.
Yeah, that would work much better if he got up there and shook his finger.
Yeah.
And maybe
banged
even
his shoe on the table like Nikita Khrushchev. Yeah,
and maybe even like Mr. Spacely, a little more blood, a little something like that.
You're fired.
Yeah, that'd be good. Okay. What a bunch of tools.
Yep.
57 minutes after the hour. Turns out Kim Jong-il likes to go to the opera.
Really?
We'll hear from Dear Leader next in stand-up news as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget, Mama will be on the Ed Show on MSNBC on Thursday. And this hour...
It's moved, apparently.
Again?
Well, no. You were saying yesterday that it was supposed to be today, but I guess they moved it to Thursday?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to let people know that.
Yes.
Okay.
On the Celebrity Hotline this hour, Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois to talk about the latest on health care reform. Representative Joe Sestak. Next hour, one of our very personal favorites from the great state of Pennsylvania. And also in hour number three, Lieutenant Dan Choi, who is going to talk about his efforts to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yes.
And what's going on.
And his great organization, Nights Out.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Meanwhile, Sean Hannity being helpful as usual in the midst of an international crisis.
The administration's timid response to the crisis in Iran. Hundreds of thousands of Iranians have been putting their lives on the line to stand up in the name of freedom, while the leader of the free world has barely noticed. Mm. And that is our headline this Monday night, in defense of democracy.
Mm. Yeah. Here's our headline.
You are an idiot.
And what would you do, Sean?
Mm. There's never any word on what he would do.
He would bomb Iran.
Mm. We got to go in there and start blowing stuff up until
you get the implication. The president,
and
of course,
then they'll be free.
President is against freedom, clearly,
yeah.
As you know. Okay. The president yesterday announcing the senior drug plan.
This is a significant breakthrough on the road to health care reform, one that will make the difference in the lives of many older Americans.
I would like a drug plan for me, please.
Yes, me too. And not Rush Limbaugh's, a different one entirely.
Right, yes.
All right. I may need some drugs soon, and that is because the headline is Pets Pass Superbug to Humans. Huh? Because you know I have a new puppy.
Honeybug!
Who, by the way, has some nasty worms right now, I should point out.
How did you
see it when you pick up the...
No, how did he get worms?
All puppies have worms. Don't ask me. I don't know.
Were you feeding it stuff that had... I don't know, gone bad?
No, it's not my fault.
Okay.
Anyway, this is sort of a startling headline. Transmission of an infectious superbug from dogs and cats to humans and back again is an increasing problem, according to a new study. The superbug, a strain of bacteria known as MRSA, has evolved a resistance to antibiotics.
Yep.
Thanks, Oliver.
Well, that's because we've been overusing and misusing antibiotics.
Yes. Hand sanitizers everywhere you go.
Right.
It's creating superbugs.
Superbugs. And also people who don't take the whole dose when they get it and think, I feel fine. And then you're breeding superbugs.
Exactly.
When you do that. And by feeding livestock, just randomly throwing in antibiotics, again, breeding superbugs
if you live like a slob, you're less likely to get...
That's what George Carlin always used to say.
Well, yes.
I used to swim through raw sewage.
Yes.
My
seriously, you build up immunity.
And he said, I've never been sick a day in my life. You know why? Because I used to swim through raw sewage.
Yes.
That's not the word he used. But
you understand. Because of George Carlin, I can't say it on the radio.
When you don't live in a sterile environment, you build up immunities to stuff.
Right.
And, you know, way too many people are trying to live in sterile environments nowadays.
Mm-hmm. All right. Another pet news.
Kids these days.
Time for Beaver Stack.
What's the matter with kids today?
Julia, this is a kind of a hometown Beaver story for Mama. You know Mama from, I'm from Lockport, up the transit from Cheektowaga, Tanawan, and Lackawanna near Buffalo.
They have Beaver up there?
They have Beaver in Lockport?
Oh, yeah.
Is there Beaver in Buffalo?
Oh, yes. Boy, howdy. This from the Buffalo News.
Hmm.
The headline, Influx of Beaver Vexed Suburbanites.
Hmm. You're a suburban Buffalonian?
I don't recall there being
a Buffalo
Beaver.
Gal.
Beaver trouble. Okay.
Buffalo gals have Beavers. What?
Buffalo.
Lots of Polish girls like me from Buffalo. A little over a week ago, Donna Lukowski noticed something strange about the crick.
The
normally babbles along the property line of her house in Lancaster. That's also up the transit from Lackawanna and Tanawanda. Cheektowaga. It was still, and it was flooding, the culprit, North American beaver. I've lived here my whole life. She said we've never had beaver before.
Damn.
Well, that certainly has changed.
Now, all of a sudden, they're moving in. Beaver have long called Western New York home. But recently, as more land is developed, people have begun noticing the critters. Beaver have been a nuisance in Erie County for quite a long time, said Mark Kandel.
How can beaver be a nuisance?
Depends on the type, you know.
Okay.
Beaver density is increasing in Western
really?
New York.
Beaver density?
Beaver.
Mm-hmm. Part of
is anything like synchronicity? Beaver density?
Part of that is due to suppressed fur prices over the last few years. The fur is suppressed.
The fur is cheap.
Beaver can turn up just about anywhere. They have water and available trees, he said, but beaver tends to get a lot more notice in residential areas.
Oh, bet.
Just walking down the street.
It's not, you know, well, that backwoods beaver doesn't get nearly the attention that suburban beaver does. When she was growing up, Lukowski said, there was a section of the creek that people referred to as the Beaver Dam. That's what the kids called it back when I was having OB splits of the transit from there.
What's an OV split?
Old Vienna. It's a beer.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about some
when you
kind
couldn't
of,
find Jenny Cream Ale. That's what you
kind
got.
Of, I don't know, position. Sexual position. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She said, I was Catholic. I beg your pardon. I haven't had sex yet. She said
Yeah.
She said that she has seen beaver around her property. She snapped photos of the one she swears weighs at least 50 pounds. Wow.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
I thought it was a bar, she said.
A bar?
A bar.
A bar. Lukowski is going to try to dismantle the beaver dam in her creek on her own. She began hacking at it with a hoe.
The hoe's hacking at beaver.
Uh-huh. The stench of the stagnant water filled the air as murky water crashed through the hole.
So when the hoe went through the beaver dam, stinky water came out.
Even if I get mine out of here, there's still going to be issues with beaver, she said.
That dam needs a bidet.
The even if she bidet. Gets her beaver out of there with her hoe, there's still going to be issues, beaver issues. Isn't there always?
And hoe issues.
Mm-hmm.
Hoe issues. There's always hoe issues.
All right, let's...
That's unfortunate.
Check some other news we don't
want. Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person... Stephanie Miller!
You saying hoes and beaver don't mix? I find that hard to believe.
They cracked open the beaver and stinky water came out. That's kind of gross.
They say it's because, dam. He said it's because of depressed fur. The fur gets depressed, you see. And
the waxing going on.
And then there's a beaver resurgence.
Can't they fluff it up?
I think we need to move on now.
Okay. Yeah.
Democrat. Oh, there's a heartening headline. Democrats getting bolder on government insurance plans.
Great.
Oh, why? Is it the new poll showed 100% of the American people want it? Good job. Now it's safe politically. Come on out, you. Democrats are becoming bolder about their idea that middle-class families could get the option of joining a government insurance plan in any overhaul of the health care system. Liberals citing polls that show support for the public plan say they are increasingly frustrated with negotiations to make the idea more palatable to Republicans.
Well, who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah.
For why?
You don't need to.
Moderates, however, warn... that abandoning the talks could jeopardize efforts to draft a bill that can pass a closely divided Senate. You know, I heard somebody saying today, we don't need 60 votes. We need 50. And then the vice president breaks the tie.
Whatever.
Okay, the most recent survey, New York Times CBS News poll released Sunday, found 72% support the idea of a public plan, including half of those who identify themselves as Republicans. All right, we have a film strip.
When making national policy, there are three essential components necessary to bring your vision to fruition. One is an actual policy initiative, and the next two are a pair of cojones to rely on for strength and fortitude in the face of your adversaries. So far, in the health care reform struggle, the Democrats are 0-3. It is as plain as the insurance company money leaking out of Matt Baucus's pockets that the answer to the country's health care crisis is single payer, but in order to pass the public option, it's necessary to have some public stalwartness. I've got two words for you, pack of eunuchs. Man up, bitches. Okay, I gave you a bonus word. It's not 1984 anymore. You've won the House and Senate and have a Democrat in the White House. You can actually get parts for your scrotum now. That goes for you too, Obama. Bipartisanship is just a way to get... Oh, this should be a bleep. To get on both sides of the aisle. put a real public option in play and get 51 votes and pass it. Screw the Republicans. You'd just be returning the favors to you. Concentrate on growing a pair of brass ones and take comfort that when this fight is over, you'll have a fantastic set of legislative tools you can rely on for the next 3 years. You'll be known forever as Barack the Bow-Legged, savior of his country and his party. And you'll kick some cannon, kick some cannon, you'll kick some... That would be some change we can... My arm is tired. My lips hurt.
And finally, the headline is Kim Jong-un...
I mean, get the AV guy to fix that projector. Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The headline is Kim Jong-il at the opera. Why? The latest UN Security Council resolution sanctioning North Korea for its May 25th nuclear test has driven Pyongyang to fresh fury. Our nuclear deterrent will be a merciless offensive made to deal just to deal a just retaliatory strike to those who touch the country's dignity and sovereignty even a bit. Oh, my.
It sounds like a Republican.
That's almost operatic.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, on June 7th, the official Korean Central News Agency carried a startling headline. Kim Jong-il guides creation of opera, something I can't pronounce.
What was the name of the opera again?
Evgeny Onegin.
Oh, Yevgeny Onegin.
Exactly. In true North Korean...
Eugene One Gin. He's not a heavy drinker. He can only handle one. Gin.
In true North Korean style, the news agency did not say the work was by Tchaikovsky.
Oh,
Kim Jong-il didn't actually guide the creation of it.
Okay.
However, we have your leader on the list.
K to the J to the I, A, and the Hizzy. So you all think of Diarida as a rural life on the culture to loser. Well, I got news for you. We're going to bring some grand opera to Pyongyang, and we're going to have a good old time, ha-cha-cha. The only question is, which one? Madam Butterfly, Rohengrin, the Rosen Cavalier, maybe the whole Ring of the Nibelung in shooting match. Oh, boy, how much fun it's going to be to hear the ride that the Valkyrie played on traditional Korean instrument with a taipodong obrigato.
Ha.
I think we're going to put on Lucia da Ramumur first and set it in a corrective farm with the subplot of nuclear enrichment. It's going to be baffle box office. Everybody going to come because it's going to be the event of the century. And also because it's a freaking dictatorship around here. And they better show up if they know what side that kimchi is fermented on.
Ha.
If only we could book one of the great old sopranos like Renee Fleming or Maria Carras or Montserrat Caballet. Oh, it's going to be so great. I got a secret to tell you. I love it when the fat ladies sing. Toreador, don't spit on the floor. Use the cuspidor. That what you fucking up.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Moore Told Roll.
Check out Jim Moore's Apocryphal But True. Tile Ads, Stephanie Miller, StephanieMiller.com. Buy the album, $9.99.
Aw, the Tonight Show theme.
Aww. And our best to Ed McMahon's family. Ed McMahon passed away last night.
Yeah.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour. The president, by the way, is going to speak at, 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern. We will get all the latest on, I'm sure, healthcare reform, Iran, and much more. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Can you talk about your freshness again?
Mm-hmm. Dare question it. Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800. It's been freshness tested for your protection. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. David in Washington on Iran. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, speaking of Hannity and timidity, wasn't he supposed to be waterboarded last week?
Yeah, aren't you late for your waterboarding, little boy?
Damn, and these Republicans, their selective memory is truly insane. I mean, we've had so many protests in the country during the Bush years with riot police going ballistic on everyone. Where was the media covered that, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, the internet covered it, but the mainstream media ignored it. That people were put in this
It wasn't even a warehouse. It was just this filthy, well, it was a warehouse, but they were kept there for days with no sanitary provisions or anything because they had the temerity to exercise their... their rights.
Scott in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Scott.
I am so tired of this pencil-lipped geek, Lindsey Graham, shooting his mouth off.
Now, it's Mitch McConnell you're thinking of that has pencil lips.
No, he has no lips.
All right, go ahead.
I want to see Obama do a good schoolyard smackdown on these guys, because I know he could just kick their tail.
Yeah, I hope he does today, and he's having his first Rose Garden press conference, and I hope he does. You know, I mean, remember how much they used to always say about, oh, you know, you shouldn't criticize the president of the United States in the middle of, you know, an international blah blah blah. You have to support it. It's just that literally, no matter what he does, it's not good enough for somebody in the Republican Party.
That's right.
By the way, speaking of which, I was just going to say this terrible train tragedy that just happened. You know, we've been talking about stimulus money and repairing infrastructure and how important that is, and bridges and
whatever.
Again, like Jim was saying, they have trains that run how many miles an hour in Europe, and this hardly ever happens.
Right. By the way, Mayor Adrian Fenty of Washington, D.C., he lowered the death toll from 9 to 7 this morning. So, you know, 7 have died, 2 in critical condition.
Yeah. The subway train that plowed into another one in the nation's capital was part of an aging fleet that federal officials had sought to phase out because of safety concerns. The NTSB had warned of safety problems, recommended the old fleet be phased out or retrofitted to make it better able to withstand a crash. Neither was done.
We had one of those out here last year.
Yeah.
Apparently the conductor was texting and missed a light.
Don't tell me there's no good, you know, the stimulus money is, you know, summer jobs or
whatever.
Bridges that are falling apart. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, in America.
Our infrastructure is pathetic.
Michael in Los Angeles on Iran. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
You know, Siemens, it's been reported that Siemens and Nokia had gotten together to help Iran clamp down on internet traffic.
Really?
And compute. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying to throw out your phone or electronic device, but if you're getting ready to buy something, you might want to think about it.
Interesting. Okay, I hadn't heard that. Thank you. Let's go to Kim in San Francisco on the healthcare debate. Hi, Kim.
Hey, kids. I don't know if any of you saw it, but Dianne Feinstein last weekend was talking about the whole healthcare debate. And
yep. And we don't know if we have the votes.
Can you believe it? This is the thing. I want to say this to all Californians. The thing about Feinstein is when she was up here in San Francisco, she was always a little bit of an elitist. She had this sort of elitist attitude. But she's gotten to be even more so. And, you know, the Senate sees themselves as more executive or CEOs. They're less influenced by the public, and they take great pride in that.
Yep, you know what? They got to take a page from Howard Dean, Kim. I saw him on TV yesterday, and he's just like, you know, we have the votes. Don't need Republican votes. Mm-hmm. You need 50. That's what you need.
He was so good. I love it. Anyway, so last weekend when she said that I don't think the president has the votes. She knows that the more she says it, the more likely it is that it won't pass. Californians, call her office. Call her office and tell her she is still responsible to us.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
How much money is she making from insurance companies?
Yeah.
The president whipped out a yes we can yesterday on health care. We'll tell you about that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm high on is love. Love for
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sean Hannity being helpful once again on the healthcare debate.
Can you define the Obama administration as a catastrophe? And can anybody stop this administration and their radical left-wing agenda?
Radical left-wing agenda, which apparently 72% of the country agrees with.
If only there was someone that has a little more fair and balanced view. What? Huh? Who
hey,
is this,
from
Jim?
The great state of Illinois, Representative Jan Schakowsky.
One of our very personal favorites. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi.
I heard a not-so-fun fact about you this morning. You broke your foot at Gitmo?
Exactly.
What's going on with all the president's women?
Well, one of my male colleagues said, if we can't beat you, we'll break your bones.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't think that's really it.
Wow. How did you know? I know Hillary and Sonia Sotomayor, and now you. What happened?
Well, the only exotic part is it was at Gitmo, but basically I tripped over a step. That was it.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry.
Make something up more entertaining than that.
All right. So you should see the other guy.
You're like, I want this place closed now.
Exactly.
Ow. All right. Congresswoman, you have obviously heard, you know, this debate on health care is really heating up. I think it was the latest New York Times poll. 72% of the American public want a public plan. What is your take on what's going to happen here?
Well, we're actually in the first hearing right now. This is a historic moment during which I'm talking to you. And we have all three committees in the House that are working on the bill include a truly robust public option that will be part of the choice that Americans will have. They can keep what they have, or they can pick a private insurance company, or they can go into a public health insurance option. The fact that the American people so overwhelmingly, including Republicans and independents and 87% of Democrats support it, I think ought to be a signal to members of Congress and particularly the Senate that this is something that the American people, and even a majority, by the way, say that if they had to pay more taxes for it, they still want it.
Mm-hmm.
They use the word government, public health insurance option, you know, all the words that might really scare people, and people get it. They want it because the insurance company has had their way with us for many years and got us into this mess. And so at least there ought to be a way to keep them honest and to keep costs down.
Well, you know, Congresswoman, that is a good, what you just said is a really good point, that with all of the fear-mongering, misinformation, and frankly, flat-out lying from the right wing, you know, about health care, it really is amazing. The American people get it, right? They're smarter than that.
Even
a majority of Republicans in this poll want a public plan. I mean, I'm curious, what do your Republican counterparts say? I assume you guys must cite polls. What do they say? Who cares?
They are relentlessly defending the private insurance market. Here's what people should know about that, that only Major League Baseball and insurance are exempt from antitrust laws, meaning by law they can collude on price, on location. And so as a consequence, 94% of markets in the United States for healthcare, if you go out and try and buy it, non-competitive. Well, the only way we can get competition, because other insurance companies aren't going to move in, is for the public health insurance option to be there. So my point is they have been fighting competition throughout their existence. That is the last thing that they want. And yet my Republican friends are talking about it as if it's the pillar of free enterprise and competition.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we know that they have brought us to this ruinous state.
Right. But, Congressman, what I'm curious is if anybody cites the polls, I mean, seriously, what can they say? Who cares what the American people want?
Oh, I think they think that the American people are stupid, that they don't really get it, and they point out, make up all kinds of cost figures. I just heard there's a guy on our panel that says that his private company finds that it's going to cost $4 trillion or some ridiculous number. You know, one of the things that they don't do when they count how much it's going to cost is how much total aggregate spending there is on health care. They only look at what the government spends. What about all the out-of-pocket costs? What about the people who have no insurance who pay totally on their own? All of those co-pays and the premiums that people are paying out of their pocket, they don't consider that. We spend 40% more than Canada does,
mm-hmm.
and we get worse outcomes.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing the amount of misinformation. It's amazing the American people have been sort of buffeted with this. You know, they're going to come between you and your doctor. They're going to, you know, this is going to be a government takeover, blah, blah, blah. And you're right. I mean, the American people are listening, and they're going, yes, we want a public plan.
Well, because people say, you know, it's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. 1993, same arguments. You could take out the transcripts. Same
mm-hmm.
things that they said when they tried to kill what Bill and Hillary Clinton said. And so they did. They killed it. and the insurance companies had a free rein. And look where we're at. So people know that if this gets killed now, and if there's no public option, that we're going to be in the same place another 10 years from now, and nobody can stand it.
And what do you think of this, you know, the co-op thing that's supposed to be a compromise? To me, I'm like, why are we even trying to compromise with Republicans on this issue when they have given us absolutely no help? The American people overwhelmingly support the Democratic plan. I don't get it. What's the point of trying to...
You know what? This is a goofy idea.
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we already have... we know how to do these kinds of public health insurance plans. One of the reasons people like it, the idea of it, is because they know about the Veterans Administration. They know about Medicare.
Right.
These are systems that actually work, that we're going to create something new out of whole cloth that's going to be able to attract people to its network. No, it's just silly.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing I think Howard Dean keeps bringing up, that Republicans were against Medicare and Medicaid. I mean, they've always, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I think, you know, I get his point that, look, the president, I think, has been extraordinary in his outreach to the other side. He's gotten a big middle finger, you know, on this issue.
Right.
I don't get why we're trying to water this down to make it, what did someone use the word, palatable to Republicans, you know?
Well, the good news is the House isn't trying to water it down. I mean, this is a really good bill that we're starting to debate in our Energy and Commerce Committee today, and then in Ways and Means, and in Health and Labor, and so Education and Labor. So we're working on a really good bill. The Senate, I hope they come around. I hope that they realize they don't have to do that. You're absolutely right. In fact, what happened to majority rule? You know, with the 51 votes that we could win this thing without having to go to 60, without having to water it down.
Right.
And that's exactly what the Republicans did when they gave us this cockamamie Medicare Part D prescription drug program. Do you think they worried about where we were at?
Right.
Not at all.
Right. Well, but to be fair, Congressman, I must say there is simplicity in the Republican health care plan.
Oh, for God's sake, just die.
I think that's it. Does that sum it up? You need to die and get out of the health care system.
That sums it up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, President Obama, of course, just yesterday welcomed the pharmaceutical industry's agreement to help close the gap in Medicare's drug coverage, calling the pact a step forward for, you know, the overhaul of health care. He said, you know, this is the kind of compromise required. Do you think this is going to help push this?
Well, you know, it's $80 billion. I think that if it helps to cut in half the amount of money seniors have to pay out of pocket once they have exhausted their benefit and they're in the so-called donut hole, that's a good thing. It should give some comfort to seniors that they're going to get some relief on their prescription drugs. But it also goes to show that the pharmaceutical industry can give up $80 billion, no problem. No problem.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, we spend more than any other country on our pharmaceuticals. We've been subsidizing them to a great extent. So I'm glad for them to do this. I doubt that it's going to change their lifestyles any to have to do it, but that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Representative Schakowsky, before you go, your take on the president's stance on Iran. I agree with Pat Buchanan, which I don't say often, that I think he's about pitch perfect on this. What do you think?
Is that what Pat said? Good
yes.
For him. I agree with him, too. The last thing, the most destructive thing, would be for the president to say, you know, we're really rooting for this guy or that guy. And then it's the imperialist devils that are trying to influence the election. I mean, anyone saying that the president should get involved in this, you know, what are they, stupid? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. It would take no understanding of Middle Eastern politics at all, but there you have it. Right. Before you go, might I catch you off guard by saying, are you sure you wouldn't like to be Senator Schakowsky?
You know what? Today's a perfect example of why I wouldn't want to be. I'm going to spend all day in this committee hearing trying to shape the health care plan. It's just too good to miss. This is, you know, if Bush were still president, if we weren't in the majority, if we didn't get a chance to do these historic things, in a minute I would do it. But I don't want to be gone from these historic debates.
Well, and that raises, you know, again, you know, the whole case on health care. If not now, when? You know, we have a Democratic president, a Democrat majority. If we're not going to get health care now, when are we going to do it?
And And we have to understand at this moment, we are winning this debate. The American people are with us. This is no time to, be cowardly. And we need to be bold and move forward and get it done by the fall.
Yep. And once again, I ask, why are you on this silly little radio show? Why aren't you in that meeting, Representative?
I'm going back to work now.
Thank you,
we'll
Representative.
Back. Okay.
All right, Congresswoman. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
there she goes, Representative Jan Schakowsky.
Love her.
Congresswoman of the great state
like
of Illinois. I know. 43 minutes after the hour, we will talk about the drug company agreement and much more.
Yeah.
Oh, I imagine if Stephanie Miller International could say, yeah, you know what, we'll pass on the $80 billion this year. We don't even need it. All right. Right back with all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Representative Joe Sestak, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline in just a few minutes. Let's go to Kurt in Kentucky. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Kurt.
Hello.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Yes, I was commenting about your issue with the health care and everything as far as...
Yes, it's my issue.
...and the parties. Or everyone's issue.
Yes.
It's the Republicans being Democrats. Really, there is no party system anymore, and it's just lobbyists.
Uh-huh.
And so we get rid of the lobbyists,
but
nothing will be achieved.
Yep, I hear you. Well said. Let's go to Pat in Chicago on health care as well. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, it's my opinion that, you know, I've learned a lot by listening to Blagojevich in Chicago, that basically these politicians are shakedown artists.
Yep.
I mean, that's their job. To get, and it's legitimate to get campaign contributions. And I think what they're doing is saying, I don't want to decide on this healthcare issue until I get every possible dime from the healthcare industry because it's soon going to be gone.
Right. Yep, absolutely. I that's the thing. I don't know who to believe. Who do we have yesterday from Jennifer Palmieri from Center for American Progress? She remains hopeful on health care. She thinks that there's, you know, that you hear all of this stuff and that they will eventually get it done. I mean, look, Ed Schultz is all over this, and God bless him. You know, that if the American public puts enough pressure on the representatives, he thinks we're going to get it done. So I don't know. It's your job to be the wet blanket of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think it's going to get done. There's way too much money coming into these congresspeople from the insurance companies. And, you know, turning people like Kent Conrad and Max Baucus against us.
I remain hopeful just because. All right. By the by, here's a...
Right-wing hypocrites.
Here's a little fun fact. The missing governor, Mark Sanford of South Carolina, who's been found now.
Yeah.
He was hiking on the Appalachian Trail and didn't tell anybody?
Yeah.
What is the fun fact on that, Chris?
Oh, that trail got the stimulus money that Mark Sanford turned down.
Oh. That's why there is still a trail.
So he wouldn't have been able to hike on that trail. Interesting.
Yes, he's...
So he enjoyed the trail.
He's using public facilities that are paid for by the government. Interesting.
Mm. Okay. By the by, Buddy has sent us a little poem about Mark Sanford. Yeah, nobody knew where he was for a day. He was missing for a day.
For the weekend.
Oh, for the weekend.
Yeah, since Thursday, they haven't been able to find him.
His wife, apparently not even
not
too
concerned.
Sure where he was. Huh.
Not concerned.
Hmm. In the style of Robert Frost, this hiking trail I think I know. For a nice long hike I will go. No need to tell the wife, though. The people of South Carolina must think it queer to be out without a governor near. Between the woods and mountain lake I hike on the longest day of the year. My BlackBerry starts to vibrate and shake to ask if there is some mistake. Overhead the copter is on search and sweep. Now people want to know if I'm a flake. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I have secrets to keep and miles to go before I sleep. Oh, Governor Mark Sanford. Hiking on a trail, brought to you by... the stimulus money. Okay. By the by, fewer Americans believe the stimulus package will restore the nation to economic health. I think there's just so much naysaying from the right. There's so many spitballs. That's the thing. People hear it enough, you know, and frankly, there hasn't been enough time yet to see if it's going to work. Anyway, compared to 2 months ago, but still, most still approve the job the president is doing. This is according to a new poll. Obama, of course, relying on public support. He'll speak about this later today, about health care and the energy policy, et cetera. He retains a strong 65% approval rating in the Washington Post ABC News poll, but the share of Americans who believe the stimulus will restore the economy has slipped from 52% from 59% from a month ago. Thanks to our Republican friends who do nothing but naysay.
At least gas is starting to come down again.
Yeah. Judy in Chicago, you're on healthcare. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
You had my most favorite congresswoman, and she is my congresswoman. Am I a lucky person?
Isn't she rocking? Yeah, Dan Schakowsky. We love her.
Yeah, she is a wonder, and she's right. You know, the public option is something that people should not be afraid of. I'm on Medicare. That's a public government-run program. So is the VA. And if it wasn't for them, I would have been in big trouble because I had to have a big major surgery.
Mm-hmm. And she has and she has that fancy public plan with which to fix her broken foot that she broke at Gitmo.
And I have, what a place to break it. Yikes.
I know.
But more people like her need to be out talking about it and letting the American public know there's nothing to be afraid of. In fact, a single payer would be the way to go. But if we have to baby step in, then let's at least start with the public option.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep up the good work. I love your show.
Thank you.
You got me through the election, and you're getting me through all these right-wing networks.
Thank you.
Attacking our administration now.
All right. Thank you, Judy. President Obama delivered remarks about the White House about the deal to reduce drug costs for seniors who fall into the donut hole, as it's called, of Medicare coverage.
And what is that donut hole, Stephanie?
Are you asking me for fun facts about the donut hole?
Yes. I'm not quite sure I know what a donut hole is.
It's the part of the donut that
there's
a hole
no,
in.
There's no dough in it or sugar or nothing.
He was joined by the head of the AARP.
I could skip right over it. Okay.
Obama says the deal refutes those in Washington who have become accustomed to the sky is falling prognoses. To those who say a health care deal is impossible this year, Chris.
It's impossible
Obama
this year.
Obama responded with a slogan from his campaign. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Get back on the It's a New Day bandwagon, young man.
I was never on the It's a New Day bandwagon. I think you know that. I've always hated that song.
Why won't you do what I say?
I...
Kevin in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Kev.
Hi. The Republicans are proposing co-ops as a solution for health care. Well, aren't co-ops socialistic in nature? Have the Republicans now become the Socialist Party of America?
Yes.
Apparently.
Well, the National Socialist Party.
Teehee. Oh, Kevin, that was snarky. Okay, Terry.
You want to know the definition of the donut hole?
Please.
The donut hole refers to a coverage gap within the defined standard benefit under the Medicare Part D prescription drug program.
Huh? Right.
There's a gap in coverage between the initial coverage limit and catastrophic coverage threshold.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. And apparently, according to Tom Hartman, it's designed to destroy Medicare in 10
right.
years. It's a Republican plot.
Anyone knows that, Chris. Can't believe you didn't have to ask. Terry in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the missing and now found Governor Sanford. Hello, Terry.
Hey, I was just wondering, yesterday was American Nude Hiking Day.
That explains it.
Yeah, I was hopeful when Chris said, hey, you want to know something about the hiking trail Mark Sanford was on? I said, it went into a whorehouse, and then he said no.
No.
Apparently he was nude.
One can hope.
We don't know that he was nude or not, although it was probably hot enough.
Although it just ironically was Nude Hiking Day. We're just saying.
If he gets a suntan on his junk, then you know that... Suntan on my... Makes me happy.
Sunshine on my... makes me cry. It would if you don't put on sunscreen.
Right.
Sunshine on your... would really make you cry. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Sunshine on my schmeckle. That's the word I was looking for.
That's it. That's the word. Okay.
Why?
All right. President Obama facing growing concerns among voters over government spending, the auto industry bailout, and other economic policies. Two new polls out. His overall job rating went to 56% in the NBC News Wall Street Journal poll. 37% of respondents, though, say Obama is taking on too many issues. That's been a right-wing talking point. 60% said he had to focus on so many things because the U.S. was facing so many problems. Thank you, George Bush. 57 minutes after the hour. Back with Representative Joe Sestak, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania, and Lieutenant Dan Choi on his battle against Don't Ask, Don't Tell as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Lieutenant Dan Choi coming up on the Celebrity Hotline this hour on his efforts to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. News breaking left and right, of course, on Iran and on health care. If only there were somebody in the thick of things. But, wow! Hey! Why, who is it, Jim?
Hey, from the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, right? Yes.
Yes.
It's Representative Joe Sestak.
Just when I was looking for the highest-ranking former military officer ever elected to Congress, it's three-star Admiral Joe Sestak. Hello. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Nice to talk to you again, sir.
Good to be back.
So I have to, you know, get you have clearly so much international experience. I have to get your take on Iran, first of all.
I think the president actually, if I might, has been handling it very well. I mean, we have a situation in Iran where the supreme leader and that government has actually set up the conditions that have actually engineered a process where there is a potential for almost a velvet, an orange-like revolution like happened in Czechoslovakia and the other. And for us to think that we're going to intercede and better engineer it into a country where in 1954 we overthrew their government and they remember that, I think people who think he should be more vocal are wrong. He should express concern for the safety of the people, but then for the sacrosanctness of ensuring a fair electoral process. And that is, let this process play out.
Right. Well, that's the thing, Congressman. I don't know what they mean on the right when they say he needs to do more. He needs to stand up. He needs to say more. What would that accomplish? Like you say, other than injecting us in the middle.
I mean, what are we going to do? Be happy because, as someone else said, we feel good because we've spoken up? I mean, we should understand here that for the first time, the supreme leader there, who is respected by both sides on this election, for the first time, however, he's taken a position. He's no longer an arbiter. He has factionalized a society that he leads. He's being questioned. My gosh, that begins to open up a strategic a cleavage there that we can then take advantage of if we don't mess it up by rallying maybe both sides against us to say don't intervene, or worse, as worse,
right,
starting to have the hard right begin to come down hard on the people. There's a difference in there. This is an Islamic republic, and there are those who are fighting it over it to be more Islamic, radical Islamic, and more to be more of a republic. Let's just let the republic side, where the Velvet Revolution is working, beginning to potentially work, play itself out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this resolution the Republicans started, I mean, what a useless waste of time. I mean, it essentially said the same thing the president has been saying. Of course he's condemned the violence. Of course he stands with people that want freedom. I mean, you know, that's the thing. It just seems like it doesn't matter what the issue is, the Republicans are going to shoot spitballs and play politics with it.
And fortunately, the administration leaned in and toned down Representative Pence's initial language, which was out there, so at least it was toned down. But I have to agree with you. Look, at a certain time, we will do the correct engagement with that country and with some carrots and sticks. We don't want them to have a nuclear weapon, but right now is not the time. Our president has been dealt a weak hand from the former administration, whether it's in Pakistan, whether it's the Middle East, Iran, or North Korea. We have not been properly engaged in this world with U.S. leadership. If there's anything I learned serving President Clinton as his director for defense policy, is only with consistent, constant U.S. leadership abroad will other nations or groups be willing to take risk for peace. And now the president is moving us back into that. But there's doubt out there about us after the way we went about this world for 8 years.
Yep. Congressman, we just had your colleague, Congresswoman Schakowsky, on, and
yes.
She says that she is hopeful about a health care plan with a public option, which, you know, I'm sure you've seen the latest poll show 72% of the American
yes.
people want. Are you equally confident?
I am. I can't say 100% because...
Uh-oh.
But I believe...
I don't like chuckling when talking about health care.
No, neither do I. As a matter of fact, I just established this morning a pediatric cancer caucus. As you remember, my daughter had a brain tumor, maybe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there was a young boy, 2.5 years old, that she was going through a chemo after a couple brain operations in the bed next to her, who we listened for 6 hours as social workers came and went. And to see if that young boy's parents didn't have health insurance could stay or not. Here's why we need the public health care option. It's going to keep the competition honest. Take Pennsylvania. There's only two companies that have 70% of all the private health insurance. You think that's competition? So by having a public health care plan, it's going to keep it honest. That's
mm-hmm.
what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well,
do I think we're going to make it? Here's what if you don't mind, Stephanie, here's what I think the argument we have to make more strongly as Democrats. Everybody out there, you're paying for the uninsured, the 47 million of them anyway.
Yeah.
Bring them into the system.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand, this we can't afford it argument. We can't afford not to have it.
You got it.
Yep.
Doing nothing is not an option. Doing nothing gave us 7 million more uninsured. And Stephanie, yours and my premiums went up because of those uninsured. Why? Because the hospitals charged the private insurance, people hold private insurance even more because they're eating up the cost of the uninsured. Bring them into, it's the same cost, it's just more direct. And eventually it's less cost because they're getting early preventive care. This is a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, speaking of health care, you know, you just were involved in legislation, the National Defense Authorization Act, which, provides for one of, I think, you know, the most important things for our troops, better mental and physical care, you know, talking about post-traumatic stress disorder, things that people don't talk about enough, in my opinion.
Absolutely right. 20% of our troops are coming home from Iraq or Afghanistan with post-traumatic stress disorder. Why? This war is different. In World War II, our vets, heroic men and women, had about 182 days of combat during their service. Horrific battles, but there was dwell time in between Guadalcanal and Iwo Jima, for example, for them to rest, recuperate, and go into the next battle. Our young men and women go outside the wire into a combat-like situation every day for 15 months, 24/7, and then come home for 12 and back for 15. The unremitting pounding upon their mental state is just, it's just unremitting.
Yep.
And so we have to do better than we're doing. We have a lot of money, $3 billion last year, $3 billion the year before that we appropriated towards this. But now what we need to do is what President Obama put $2 billion as a beginning in the economic stimulus bill is have comparative research. Begin to find out and assess what's the right diagnosis for what type of treatment, for what type of injury. How are we identifying? Is it different for men and women? And that, are we getting the right treatments? And that's what my amendment is doing is, okay, we've got the money. Let's now have an assessment upon the right research, the right treatments, so that we can better let everyone know how to go about it.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman, before you go, I don't know if you heard me mention I'm having Lieutenant Dan Choi on, who's
yes.
going to talk about, you know, his he was, of course, dismissed under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. As the highest-ranking military officer ever elected to Congress, what is your take on this? Because it seems like the White House is waiting for Congress, and Congress is waiting for a sign from the White House. What is your take on what's going to happen and when?
I was on with Dan on Rachel
Maddow,
mm-hmm. and I feel the same way today as I felt the day we passed it. An admiral asked me, Joe, what do you think about this? I said, in a couple months, we'll have the Supreme Court overturn it as unconstitutional. It didn't happen. And you know how I feel. If we go overseas, and I did, into a war, and which surveys show us that we have men and women who are gay, and we're going to come home after they serve this nation, not give them equal rights, that's wrong.
Yep.
We must, and I mean we must act on it by this fall.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I understand the president had to stop the economy from cratering. He's done that. It's intense, but not cratering. Second, he wants to, and that chuckle just meant that I was chuckling at Congress. That
I know.
I can't tell you what we do down here because it mystifies me at times.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to get this health care reform for everyone through. But
yep.
you know what? That battle, and we're going to do cap and trade here by the end of this week, those issues should be done by late summer, and then equal rights. We must get the Don't Ask, Don't Tell overturned by with the president's help and this Congress so we speak together by the fall.
Future Senator Joe Sestak, I love you. Oh, did I say future senator? I meant Congressman Joe Sestak. We love you. Thanks for doing the people's work. I appreciate it.
When I announce, I want you to be part of it.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you, sir. All right.
Thanks for having me again.
All right. Thank you again, sir. There he goes, Representative Joe Sestak.
He's awesome.
Ha, ha, ha. He's not easily tricked either. All right. I thought he would answer why. Yes.
Computer says yes.
Ha, ha.
Did he give an indication that he would do it on the Stephanie Miller newscast?
He seemed to toss a little tidbit my way, didn't he?
He certainly did.
Take that, Ed Schultz. All right.
Guess maybe. You know going on his show again.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't be invited back there.
Maybe something like that will get you the 10 p.m. slot on MSNBC.
Ha, ha, ha. All right, the president on the situation in Iran.
The last thing that I want to do is to have the United States be a foil for those forces inside Iran who would love nothing better than to make this an argument about the United States.
He also, signed legislation giving the FDA new power to regulate tobacco. The law gives the FDA power to ban fruit-flavored cigarettes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include menthol? Is menthol's not a fruit?
That's not a fruit.
It's a mint.
The decades-long effort to protect our children from the harmful effects of a tobacco has emerged victorious, Obama said yesterday.
It will curb the ability of tobacco companies to market products to our children by using appealing flavors.
I don't know whether he's ever said exactly yet whether he's entirely quit smoking altogether or not. The president yesterday. Or not. Or we could have Shane.
Today, thanks to the work of Democrats and Republicans, the decades-long effort to protect our children from the harmful effects of tobacco has emerged victorious.
Enough!
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking. Who cares?
Have you stopped smoking?
You know, I have, but what I said was that, you know, there are times where I've fallen off the wagon.
Well, wait a minute.
Does that
mean you haven't stopped?
Well, fair enough.
Yes. Yes, we can.
Thank you, Shano. All right. Ken in Santa Fe, New Mexico, on the missing and now found Governor Sanford. Hello, Ken. Hi, Ken. Hello, Ken.
Ken went hiking.
Ken is on the Appalachian Trail. Brought to you by the stimulus money.
Oh,
I hung up on him by mistake. Okay, Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the healthcare debate. Hey, Buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to kind of take the opposite side.
Buddy in Illinois, sorry, you're not that Buddy. Go ahead.
No, I'm a different Buddy.
Yes.
I'm in Aurora, pardon me. Pardon me for having a different name with someone else you have.
But yes.
Someone said something about Americans are not stupid. It was the congresswoman you had on.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to disagree. We have been tricked in this country to thinking that we don't deserve good roads or anything like that. Our infrastructure is a D. We're fooled into thinking we don't need health care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not good enough for it. We're not smart enough to say, hey, let's take it. And they always say,
we're good enough, we're smart enough, and we deserve health care. And that's why we need Al Franken to vote it in.
Certainly, certainly. And it's like, you know, we're like a bunch of sheep. I mean, you look at what's happening in Iran. They don't have anything idea what's going on with the election. They just know it smells funny, and they're on the streets. Twice we got it stolen from us, and what did we do?
We're
like idiots.
Well, we didn't just sit there. We're like idiots. We sat there, Jim, watching semi-celebrities eat bugs on television. So it's not like we weren't doing anything.
Sanjaya ate a bug! Ha!
20 minutes up.
Are you dissing our friends for Angela?
No. Did I hear they may be recalled to the jungle?
I heard a rumor
of
that.
Welcome to the jungle.
You know what? Can you be recalled to help out a celebrity get me out of here? I'm sure once you've said get me out of here and you've gotten, then you have to go back.
I stopped watching that show after the first week.
That seems to break the rules.
I don't know what's going on there.
20 minutes.
There's no rules in reality show.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with the latest polls and what they show on the president and health care and much more. We're about an hour away from his press conference as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Good times. Things are the good times.
Stephanie Miller.
I love disco, and I hear it's making a comeback.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Playing the music all the kids are listening to. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
Kids who now have grown kids of their own.
And grandkids.
Tweet this. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Rob in Seattle on the healthcare debate. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning, sir. Go ahead.
Some fast fun facts for you while we're having this debate about a watered-down single-payer version.
The co-op thing, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there have been some assurances from the right-hand side of the spectrum that if we went to something that was this using NPOs, nonprofit organizations, or something like that, that will help contain costs as opposed to doing single-payer,
yes.
Don't believe it for a second.
Yeah. Well, that's what Chuck Schumer said. He said this co-op thing is just not, you know.
I worked for Blue Cross Blue Shield back when Jimmy Carter was president and through the Reagan era. And I was a young Turk and I had come up. I worked in underwriting, and the upshot of that was they were a nonprofit organization. It doesn't mean that they don't make a profit. It meant that by law they made no more than 12%. And the guy who was kind of my mentor in that said, look, kid, here's how it works. Our job is to make 11.999, as many nines to the right of that point as we can. And it doesn't matter, administrations come, administrations go, Republican, Democrat, any variation on how they do the actuarial doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We make our 11.99999. I now am an industrial commercial electrician. Our contractors would love, if they made 11.99%, 12% profit, somebody screwed up in letting the contract out. Mm-hmm. Most businesses in America, by the time they get down to the bottom line, if they made 12%, they would be happier than a pig in something.
Thank you. All right. By the by, whoever said our last caller said the American people not that smart, I believe that they are. CBS New York Times polls found the Republican Party viewed favorably by only 28% of Americans,
wow.
The lowest rating ever in the poll.
Good job, Michael Steele.
Way to go. Good job.
We should try writing your hat
that
in another direction.
How big is that hat now? Obama's job approval rating held steady at 63% in that poll. Is Grampy McSame becoming a little more befuddled, or is it my imagination? He said Barack Obama has done well in his first 5 months in the White House.
Not according to all of his public statements that Grampy McSame has made.
Yes. He said Obama's achieved all his legislative goals. On the downside, McCain says Obama's success in Congress had come with little or no Republican support.
Yes.
Whose fault would that be?
I was just going to say, that's the downside for you, Republican Party, not for the president. Speaking of Republicans...
But I'm wearing an onion on my belt.
Thank you, Grampy. I think we heard that enough during the campaign.
Yes.
Speaking of Republican senators, Senator John Ensign returned to Capitol Hill on Monday, but refused to answer questions about his, the unpleasantness.
No, don't speak.
Please
don't speak.
Ensign
the
Seaman.
The extramarital unpleasantness.
Yes.
Ensign's staff has said that Doug Hampton, the former aide and husband of Ensign's mistress, sought money from the senator to keep the affair quiet. A watchdog group says it will file a complaint with the Senate Ethics Committee asking lawmakers to investigate the circumstances surrounding the extracurricular unpleasantness.
Huh.
Senator John Ensign had with a campaign aide. Officials for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington said they would ask lawmakers to investigate the source and amount of any severance payments to the aforementioned cuckolded husband. Okay.
Oh, boy.
28 minutes after the hour, back with Lieutenant Dan Choi on Don't Ask, Don't Tell as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Why are the pretty ones always so dumb?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Can I have my fine American music, please? And the most vocal plea yet for the White House to take the lead in pushing for gays and lesbians to be able to serve in the military openly. 77 Democratic lawmakers urged President Bush to push. Oh, ew. President Obama to use his executive powers to order a halt to the military discharges under the controversial Don't Ask, Don't Tell law and work aggressively with Congress to pass new legislation to overturn what they describe as a discriminatory policy that harms national security. We urge you to exercise the maximum discretion legally possible in administering Don't Ask, Don't Tell until Congress repeals the law, states the letter organized by Representative Elsie Hastings. To this end, we ask that you direct the armed services not to initiate any investigation of service personnel to determine their sexual orientation, that you instruct them to disregard third-party accusations that do not allege violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Thank you. If only there might be another fine American that could chime in on this. That might know something. Yes, Jim, who is it?
It's Lieutenant Dan Choi.
What? What are the chances? Good morning, Lieutenant.
Hi.
Thanks so much for coming on with us.
What a great essay you just read.
I know. Well, you know, I'm, you know, getting frustrated, as I'm sure you are and many people are, that it seems like, you know, the White House is waiting for Congress and Congress is waiting for the White House, and somebody needs to show leadership here.
That's
correct?
Right. Everybody's just waiting on something, waiting for something to happen. And that's really frustrating to me. It's not the kind of leadership that I learned at West Point. Said, you know, when there's something that needs to be done, you do it. You step up, you take courage, and you become the leader that you were trained to be. And so here we have our nation at war, and we're kicking out soldiers and qualified soldiers that can definitely contribute to the team. And obviously, national security is not as important, but let me point out that American values is really what's being assaulted here. Mm-hmm. I mean, soldiers are being forced to lie. And they'd be forced to hide.
You know, Lieutenant, somebody, a listener had a good question, which I don't really actually know the answer to. They said, you know, the policy is called Don't Ask, Don't Tell. How mm-hmm. come the person that asks doesn't get fired? I thought that's the first part of it is don't ask.
That's right. Actually, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell is really comprised of don't ask, don't tell, don't harass, don't pursue. And the only one that's actually enforced is the don't tell portion of it. And I would say that's the worst part to actually tell. I mean, the worst part to enforce. When you come back from war, you are so close. Your bonds are so close. You've been through so much stuff together. My normal vernacular is a little bit more dirty than that. But, you know, we've been through a lot. Mm-hmm. And we want to tell each other, you know, what we do in our lives. And it is important. I have a couple of friends in my unit that went to a gay bar with me. They want to know. Yeah, and they're just interested. And this is 2009. This is
so
not 1970. This is not 1800. You know, the times have changed. And we're done with these geriatric views.
Yeah. I mean, Lieutenant, that's hilarious. When, you know, so much for the arguments about unit cohesion. Want to go to a gay bar with me? Yeah.
what is the big deal with these gay bars? And then they come and say, wow, this is just like any other bar.
Yeah. So right.
It's interesting for them, and that we realize, number one, the diversity makes our units actually stronger. And then, especially when you're honest with people in your unit, that's the same thing with a community, a family, a church, or a workplace. When you're honest, unit cohesion or group dynamics actually get stronger and better.
You know, Lieutenant, you know, that strikes me, you know, the word archaic, these arguments. First of all, the lawmakers in their letter make the same point you've made many times. Our country's national security will continue to suffer if action is delayed. So Obama aides have said the president still plans on acting on his campaign pledge, but they've outlined a very deliberative process of study and consultation with the military. It could take months, if not years. I mean, are you kidding me? what are the percentages now of the American people that think this is a ridiculous policy?
I believe it's up to 80%, but I'm not basing any of the things that I do on polls. I don't think anybody should. I think we really need to take a look at what's the right thing to do. We're at war.
Yep.
And whatever polls you want to throw out, you cannot kick out Arabic-speaking linguists.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, you made that point. I think it was Anderson Cooper that quoted that poll to you. It was 70% or whatever, you know, support gays serving openly in the military. And I think you said that, you know, that's exactly right. This shouldn't have anything to do with polls or being popular. It has to do with doing the right thing. Whatever happened to doing it because it's the right thing to do?
That's right. Well, you see a lot of soldiers now that they're coming back and they've served, like me personally, my board is on June 30th. That's basically a trial. I stand trial and I'm guilty until proven capable is essentially what they're seeking to find. And I could lose my veterans benefits to include housing, education, and hospital benefits, things that I've earned by going to Iraq, being a combat veteran. If I have an other than honorable discharge, a lot of those things can be rescinded from me. And And so I don't have a lot of those. Now, I point out, you know, I've fixed up hospitals in Iraq and the reconstruction work that we did there. I actually got in contact with a lot of my Iraqi friends. I keep in contact with them, some of them doctors, and they know I'm gay. They don't care. They would treat me. So it's a shame that, you know, because of this law, you see, not just me, but so many thousands of soldiers that are getting kicked out, and they're threatened with an other than honorable discharge. They can lose a lot of the benefits they earned by going to war for this country.
And you make the best argument about this, you know, unit cohesion. You know, you talk about the victims are those 13,000 units that have been rendered less capable. We're not supporting
them.
How is that supporting the troops? By, you know, taking capable soldiers out of the unit.
That's right. And one of the greatest things that we have to remember, one of the greatest things about our military is the human resource. It's the soldiers that make, that's the greatest weapon system, is the soldier, particularly the ones that put a face to what we are as Americans when we go overseas and we're doing things like a counterinsurgency where you're basically working with the people. And especially when you're trying to locate terrorists or insurgents, whatever you call it, you know, you have to understand that there's a human element. And so when you rip apart a unit, when you take soldiers that are capable of communicating those very human ideas to the Iraqi people or to the Afghan people, you really have to see the kind of toll it's taking on the unit effectiveness, as well as a family, really, that is the military unit.
Lieutenant, you know, I think I tried to ask this earlier, but maybe, you know, for those of us lay people, civilians, how are the majority of these happening? Why are they asking in the first place? How are the majority of these firings, why are they taking place?
Well, me personally, in my letter, all it says is my admission, my saying I am gay. Now, particularly, I always point out, I haven't really told that many people. I mean, I told my mom, my dad, my sister, and Rachel Maddow. You know, that's
oh, well, there you go. She'll tell everybody.
But it's just as illegal for me to tell my mom as it is to tell my commander. You cannot say who you are, and you're supposed to remain celibate your entire time while you're in the service, or the unit will crumble.
Right.
And that's essentially what the letter says, is that, you know, I've negatively affected the good order and discipline, which
blah, blah, blah.
But
now, in the future,
somebody has a problem with it, and investigation occurs.
In the future, here's a tip for you. Telegraph, tell Rachel Maddow. She cannot keep a secret. I spilled wine on her entire family. She's never shut up about it. Now, tell me your take on, since you've been in the legal process, the Supreme Court refused to hear your case. So the White House says, you know, they're trying to work with members of Congress. So they're waiting for Congress. Harry Reid says lawmakers are waiting on a legislative proposal from the White House. Where do you think this needs to come from? I mean, where, you know, obviously I think we're all disappointed in the slowness of it. What would you like to see happen?
As a platoon leader, if I was faced with any kind of a decision where I could affect, within the limits of my responsibility, I could affect positively mission accomplishment, then I believe that as an executive, I need to step up and say, stop firing people, and then that can be a clear message to the people in Congress who are also, they also have a responsibility to outfit the Army and the Navy in the Constitution. That is their responsibility. And so if they're not resourcing our units, then shame on them, shame on everybody. So number one, it has to come from people who are leaders, who were elected to do the job of keeping our nation secure, and also, you know, making sure that our nation does what it stands for and basically does not discriminate. It stands for equality, particularly when we send our soldiers overseas and teach other countries about democracy and equality and rule of law and the great things, and not subordinating your military to a minority fringe religious group or a minority doctrine or political group.
Right. When you look at, you know, just 9/11 and the fact that, you know, we were missing so many of the Arabic translators, you know, that could have decoded the, what is it, you know, tomorrow is zero hour or whatever. I mean, because I agree and I understand. I originally understood, you know, Lieutenant, when they were saying, look, the president has a lot on his plate. That's true. You know, I'm also hearing that civil rights groups have said, look, we need hate crime legislation first, then workplace non-discrimination. Then, you know, so it's like... every issue keeps getting bumped back, you know, and people go, well, maybe it's not that important. Well, it is if you're you. It is if you're gay, right?
Well, it's not just me. I mean, we look at those 13,000. We can't just say that they're the victims. The American people are the victims. Mm-hmm. American families, when there's a son or daughter that wants to join and enlist in the military, that mom and dad needs to know, hey, that military is not going to discriminate against my kid, and they're not going to discriminate against my kid's team. And so when we look at some of the things that really are hurt, we have to prioritize our military and fighting and winning wars and supporting our troops when they go to war, whether we voted for the war or not. We need to support our troops. That needs to be our number one priority. And we have to realize, number one, that gays and lesbians have been serving in the military before our country even learned how to discriminate against us.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant, a researcher at the Palm Center said, I don't begrudge people for seeking political cover, but Congress is looking to Obama as the head of the Democratic Party. Obama is saying that Congress needs to act and the military needs to get ready. That is the passing of the buck. You know, I have to say that I have come to that, too, that I think the president needs to show leadership on this. I know that you said you didn't want him to act just in your case. You want the whole policy overturned.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your take on the president in particular?
Well, there was a couple of statements that have been made that we need to do it in a responsible way that strengthens our military. Now, I understand where that's coming from, but it just makes no sense. The only responsible way, the only method of responsibility is to stop the firings now and today. You know, it needs to be the case.
Yeah, create an urgency for Congress to pass this, right?
That's right. So not one more. We do not accept one more firing. There have already been over 260 soldiers this year. That's after our president has been inaugurated, of soldiers that are capable in their teams, and they're getting fired, and we are still at war. So, number one, that's what needs to be done. And honestly, when people talk about, well, we have to do it responsibly, it's not just overturning a policy, or it's not just replacing it with non-discrimination. No, it really, when you look at it, there are soldiers that are serving right now, and they're serving honestly, and they're honestly making statements to their friends, and that's what it's all about. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
So with Don't Ask, Don't Tell right now, it really has met its purpose. There is right now the amount of homophobia that everybody says is so rampant in the military. That's just not true, and I can tell you personally that is not true.
If only someone had an organization of some. Oh, you do. KnightsOut.org is Lieutenant Dan Choi's organization. Please go online and see if you can help him out. Lieutenant, thanks so much for...
Knights with a K.
Yes.
KnightsOut.org.
Yes.
Thanks so much for taking time for us, Lieutenant.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much.
I mean, the really horrible thing about this is that the military's been accepting felons, Nazis, and gang members now for several years, but not gays.
Yeah.
That's why... Huh? Mm-hmm. That's not a threat to unit cohesion? We've got racists and Nazis? And...
Okay. Well, they're cohesive with the people of their same race,
well,
you know,
sure,
in the unit. Sure. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show with
bada
all the
bing,
fresh
bada bing
riffs that the kids are
all
jamming to.
Body started quickly, right?
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
I thought they were saying bada bing.
I still love that song.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hit me. Ed in Las Vegas. Hit me with your health care plan. Hello, Ed.
Hi there, Stephanie.
Hi.
I just received a flyer in the mail from our Senator, Harry Reid, telling us what a wonderful job he's doing for health care in Nevada.
Really now.
And interestingly enough, on the front of the flyer, it says, paid for by the American Pharmaceutical Research Company.
Boy, isn't
so
that ironic?
I wrote a letter to Harry and saying, you know, in effect, I don't know whose side you're on, But I would think the bottom line, as we call it in Las Vegas, should be the citizens of Nevada.
Yeah, exactly. If it said brought to you by the citizens of Nevada, well, now, that,
yes.
You would, that would have made you more receptive. All right, Susan in San Francisco. Hey, Suze.
Oh, hi. On the healthcare issue, I would love other people to weigh in on this. Is it possible that the private insurance industry, the ways that they exclude people, drop people, you know, people who paid their premiums but don't get the service, has that become worse since 1995? And my theory is based on the way that they so soundly defeated the Clinton bill in 94 that they felt so empowered that they thought nobody could touch them, they could do anything they wanted, so they've actually gotten worse. And if we don't do it this time, we may never be able to again.
Right.
Yep,
that's when
you.
The Republicans took power in Congress. That's when all this started happening.
Yep.
And now we have a chance to make it stop happening. But,
yeah. All right.
People like Harry Reid are funded by the pharmaceutical company.
In bad news, the Supreme Court announced yesterday will not give further consideration to a lawsuit brought by Valerie Plame against high-ranking Bush administration officials, including that dick. Cheney. Which the Supreme Court...
Confused says no.
Which,
They're all going to get off scot-free.
Yeah,
all
unbelievable.
All the horrible things they've done.
Yeah, but Naomi Watts gets to play her in a movie.
Okay, well, there you go.
She wins there.
You know, does this seem war crimey to you two? We've obviously heard this before, but obviously other countries are doing their investigations of the Iraq War.
Right.
So in Britain, the confidential record of the meeting between President Bush and Tony Blair before the invasion of Iraq, outlining their intention to go to war without a second UN resolution, will be an explosive issue for the official inquiry into the UK's role in the Iraq War. The memo, almost 2 months before the invasion and seen by the Observer, confirms that as the two men became increasingly aware that UN inspectors would fail to find weapons of mass destruction, they had to contemplate alternative scenarios that might trigger a second resolution legitimizing military action.
Like a phony U2 incident.
Yes.
Like
Bush told Blair
powers.
The U.S. had drawn up a provocative plan to fly U-2 reconnaissance aircraft painted in U.N. colors over Iraq with fighter cover. That seems, what's the word, Jim?
Provocative.
Illegal.
Well,
and provocative. Bush said if Saddam fired at the planes, this would put the Iraqi leader in breach of U.N. resolutions. The president expressed hope that an Iraqi defector would be brought out to give a public presentation of Saddam's WND. No word on whether that would be accurate. Just somebody. I don't know. Maybe we can call him Curveball or something like that. That would be... However, Bush confirmed even without a second resolution, the U.S. was prepared for military action. The memo said Blair told Bush he was solidly with the president.
Aha!
And furthermore,
woof, woof,
yes.
Where's my biscuit? Woof.
Yes, that too. Paraphrasing Bush's comments at the meeting, Manning wrote, the start date for the military campaign was now penciled in for 10 March. This was when the bombing would begin. Our diplomatic strategy had to be arranged around the military planning, Manning writes. This was despite the fact Blair had yet to receive advice on the legality of the war.
Oh,
from
that.
That's more craziness. From the...
We should always remind people that we kicked Hans Blix out of the country because he was on the verge of discovering that there were no weapons of mass destruction, and we couldn't have that.
I know. I told you I got in a fight with my Mormon best friend in Salt Lake that I visited, and she had the Fox News on when I got there. Remember I told you this story?
Mm-hmm.
And we got immediately into a debate about Iraq. It was back then. And she's like, well, you know they kicked the inspectors out. I was like, turn off the Fox News. But they just parrot it. Well, he kicked them out. He kicked out the inspectors. What could we do? We had to start bombing. All right, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin says her political enemies are abusing state law by pointing out her abuse of state law.
In what respect, Charlie?
In the respect that you broke the law.
You're a big, bad liar.
Yeah,
and a hypocrite.
She says they are frivolous ethics complaints against her. There have been 18 cases so far. The people filing them say it's their legal right to hold the Republican governor accountable for what they see as abuses of power.
They just had a fairly significant earthquake up in Alaska. I hope that doesn't
presage
more volcanic activity. But
ironically,
we don't need any kind of volcano monitoring.
That's crazy. That's crazy science. Jim!
Ironically, the earthquake was centered in the town of Willow.
Westo.
Yep. Twack. Twig.
Twig.
Think someone's
we haven't busted that out in a while.
I know.
Elmer Fudd calling the Palin children for dinner.
I made your favorite wabbit lasagna.
Jim, Who said I'm not interested in discussing O'Reilly's politics here? That would open a hornet's nest. I'm more concerned about the danger he and others like him represent to a civil and peaceful society. He sets a harmful example of acceptable public behavior. Who said that?
Bill O'Reilly, or one of his multiple personalities.
No.
No?
Roger Ebert in a fabulous piece. Chicago Sun-Times.
That was a great piece.
Sounded like a thumbs down to me.
Who said much has been said recently about the possible influence of O'Reilly in the murder of Dr. George Tiller. Such a connection is impossible to prove, yet studies of bullies and their victims suggest a general way such an influence might take place. Bullies like to force others to do their wills while they can stand back and protest their innocence. I was nowhere near the gymnasium, sister. Who said that?
Rex Reed.
No, Roger Ebert. Go pick up a Chicago Sun-Times. That's it for us today. Hal Sparks, comedian extraordinaire in the studio with us all of Hour 3 tomorrow. We'll see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.